I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. For great is our God, and he is most worthy of our praise. We thank God for allowing us the privilege of presenting his gospel, his word to you, and certainly his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank God for a wonderful day. It's a little cold or a little chilly outside, but God has blessed us with heaters and blessed us with all we need to be functional. And so we thank God for this day. I want to make a couple of announcements before I start Bible study. One in particular is I got some information from Miss Joanne Logan, and let me just read a portion of it to you, and I want you to jot down her number afterwards. I am sharing this information with you to share with others. There is funding available through the CARES Household Support Program to assist eligible households in Jefferson County with rent and/or utilities if they have been financially impacted by COVID-19. The CARES Household Support Program has funds available. I think she said $1 million funds available. There's an application process, and her number is here, and let me give that number to you so you can contact Ms. Joanne Logan for an appointment if you are in need of help in filling out that application. It's 205-919-5589. 205-919-5589. Again, the CARES Household Support Program to assist eligible households in Jefferson County with rent and/or utilities if they have been financially impacted by COVID-19. So if you're in need of help, please contact Ms. Joanne Logan, and she will be able to help you in your application process. Another announcement is our Christmas drive. We are nearing the deadline. The deadline will be December the 13th. December the 13th. I'm not for sure as to where we are at this time. We were right at $5,000 the last time I reported, and I have not got the report today, so but I will keep you informed. We have a little ways to go, but I do know we will get there, so that we as a church, as the body of Christ, will help those who are in need. I thank you in advance for your participation, your generosity, and your support of this so that others will be blessed. The Bible says in the first church, they gave so that they will be common. Amen. They would be common. So we want to be common. We want to bless others who are in need of a blessing. So those are the two announcements that I've had that I have for you. Don't forget to register for the upcoming service. First Sunday is coming, and we are looking forward to a wonderful time in the Lord. I also want to remind you to stay vigilant, to stay alert. We are in a pandemic. We are not panicking, but we are in a pandemic. We want to follow the guidelines that have been set before us by the CDC and healthcare professionals to keep ourselves safe. The numbers are rising, and we don't want to become haphazard as it relates to this COVID-19. It is serious. A lot of people are being affected by it. A lot of families are affected by it. And certainly as pastor, I want the best for you. I want you to be safe. And therefore, I encourage you to remain diligent, to remain vigilant, to be focused, that you don't let your guards down or go places without your mask. You know, and having large gatherings in your homes and going to places where people are gathering, you know, without social distance. And so I wanted to encourage you in that regard, that you be safe. You be safe. We are praying for you, and we know that you are praying for us. And God has been faithful to keep us thus far, and we know that God is going to keep us as he uses us to extend, exalt, and illustrate his kingdom. Matthew chapter 11. Let us continue in our study. Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 20. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. And we will read down to verse 24. Five verses, 20 through 24. I want to give you time to locate this particular passage in your Bibles, and I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open so that we can study the verses together as God will unpack in these particular verses what has been packed in, so that we can see, hear, and do the word of God. Verse 20 says, "Then began he to unbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." That's God's word. God's word for his people. God's word is blessed. It is inspired. And we are to be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy word. I want to talk about Jesus denunciate judgment. Jesus denunciate judgment. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities." I want you to notice, this is the gist of chapter 18. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. I like to call this intentional evangelism. He went out with purpose. Purpose in his teaching, purpose in his preaching. And the purpose of his teaching and preaching was to save the people who would hear or who heard his teaching and preaching. Intentional evangelism. This is a hard word for us today, evangelism. One writer said, "The church is not a destination for crowds, but rather a vehicle to take gospel-sharing people to the ends of the earth." Let me say that again. The church is not a destination for crowds, but rather a vehicle to take gospel-sharing people to the ends of the earth. Jesus had a small church of about 12 members plus the 70 distant members, but he taught them to teach and he encouraged them to preach the kingdom of God. So when we look at Matthew chapter 11, we understand that Matthew chapter 11 is Jesus departing thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Not the cities of the disciples, but the cities that surrounded Galilee. Jesus went forth teaching and preaching the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the spiritual realm over which Jesus reigns as king. Now, write that down, if you will. The kingdom of heaven is the spiritual realm over which Jesus reigns as king. Let me say that again so you can get it. The kingdom of heaven is the spiritual realm over which Jesus reigned as king. It denotes the fulfillment on earth of God's will. Jesus Christ came to earth to do his Father's will. When Jesus Christ showed up, the kingdom of heaven showed up. Because you cannot have a kingdom without a king. So he's the king. He is the king. He rules over the spiritual realm, the spiritual realm that we call the kingdom of heaven. Notice as Jesus went preaching and teaching, he was preaching and teaching the kingdom of heaven, his rule over people in the spiritual realm. It is not a physical kingdom, it is a spiritual kingdom. His teaching and preaching were not received by all. Jesus' message and ministry was rejected by his own people. It is in John's gospel, John chapter 1, verse 11, that says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. He now, because of their rejection of him, because of their rejection of John, remember now, from the last time we studied in the previous verses, that his ministry was rejected and John's ministry was rejected. So now he denunciates judgment on the cities that rejected his ministry and his message. When the message and ministry of Jesus Christ are rejected, there is nothing else but judgment. Let me say that again. When the message and ministry of Jesus Christ are rejected, there is nothing else but judgment. Jesus says the same thing in John chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. Because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you reject the message and ministry of Jesus Christ, there is nothing else for you but judgment. Notice he says condemned already. If you reject the Son, if you believe not in the Son, you are condemned already. The word condemned is krino, which means to damn, to judge, to punish. So the punishment for rejecting Jesus is condemnation and damnation. Jesus did not come, he said now, he did not come to condemn humanity, because when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, humanity sinned in Adam, therefore humanity was condemned in Adam. Let me prove my posture. If you go over to Romans chapter 5, you'll see the contrast between Adam and Jesus. What happened in Adam and what happened in Jesus Christ. That in Adam, we were all condemned. But in Christ, we are all made right in the eyes of God. So when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, humanity sinned in Adam. So humanity was condemned in Adam. That's why Jesus said he that believed believes not is condemned already. He did not come to do what was already done. He came to undo. Praise the name of God. What was done to humanity through Adam. So when the work of Jesus Christ is rejected, there is nothing else left for you but condemnation and damnation. So Jesus, in verse 20, he began to unbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Jesus unbraid the cities. This means that Jesus scolded the cities because there was fault in their failure to receive his message and miracles. So the message he preached pointed to him, and the miracles he performed pointed to him as the Messiah, the anointed one sent from God. They missed the message. They missed the purpose of the miracles. Miracles are not done to us to advance us in the flesh. Miracles are signs. They serve as marquees to get our attention, to point us in the direction of Jesus Christ. Because listen, only Jesus Christ can do supernatural things among the natural. They are signs. They point us in his direction. They miss his message. Because to preach the kingdom of heaven was to reveal himself as king, and to perform the miracles was to point at himself as the Messiah. But yet they missed the message. There was fault in their failure to receive his message and miracles. I think I need to pause to say there's still fault in failure to receive his message and miracles. People are still missing the message and failing to understand the purpose for miracles. He began to unbraid. He began to scold the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they did not turn to him. To repent is to turn from, to turn to. They failed to turn from sin and turn to him. They repented not. They heard his teaching. They saw his works. They had been excited, astounded, and astonished, and enthused. But there was no repentance. Because people get excited, because people cry, because people are moved, doesn't mean that there is repentance. John preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance, but the message had not had been unheeded, and the works by which the message had been attested had not produced real conviction. All had been done that could be done to bring the people to repentance, but they would not receive Jesus that they might have life. And now the Lord unbraids them, not in wrath, but in sorrows. Sorrow floods the heart of Jesus when he is rejected. To prove my posture, in Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets and stoned them which are sent to you, how often would I have gathered the children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your houses is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus wept over the tragedy of a lost opportunity. The Israelites that assembled in Jerusalem for the Passover missed the opportunity to be saved from both earthly and eternal destruction. They were visited by their Savior, but they did not know it. Instead of receiving him, they killed him. They had rejected him. And he wept over the tragedy of a lost opportunity. How often should we cry? How often should we weep over people who fail to take advantage of the opportunity to be saved? That salvation is in your face, calling out your name, and you still disregard it. Salvation in Christ is preached, and you walk away Sunday after Sunday without coming down to the altar to say, "I want to be saved." Sunday after Sunday, "I'll do it next week." And next week never comes. How often should we weep at people who miss the opportunity to be saved? Jesus wept over the tragedy of a lost opportunity. Instead of receiving him, they killed him. Notice the judgment denunciated. There's judgment denunciated on Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, verses 21 and 23. Now, verse 21 says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Verse 23 says, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sidon or in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum were near the west northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum became known as the evangelical triangle because most of Jesus' teaching and preaching and miracles occurred there. They were cities heavily populated with Jewish people. His own people. Remember what John said in John 1 verse 13. He came to his own, but his own received him not. Chorazin was a Jewish city set on a hillside north of the Sea of Galilee. It was about 2.5 miles due north of Capernaum. This is about all we know from biblical history about Chorazin, but we understand from the text that this is one of the cities that Jesus denunciated judgment upon because of their rejection of him. Bethsaida lay on the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee, at the place where the Jordan River enters the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida was about 6 miles distant from Capernaum. Here it is. Capernaum was also located close to the Sea of Galilee, and it was a fishing city. And being a fishing city, it was a place of commerce. People from all walks of life gathered there for trade. And Capernaum was the second home for Jesus. Matthew 4:13 describes Jesus as leaving Nazareth and settling in Capernaum. It was the hub of his ministry, the hub for his ministry. From Capernaum, Jesus spread it abroad. Notice the word woe. He says, woe, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Now, when you see the word woe, woe is a word of sorrow and judgment. Write this down. In Matthew 23, you see woe, 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 woe. We call it the woe chapter. It means sorrow and judgment. Woe unto you, Chorazin, Bethsaida. Now, he denunciates judgment. Here's the reason. According to the Bible, they repented not. So they had a reason to repent. Jesus had said something. He had done something to bring them into repentance. But they repented not. He performed most of his miracles in Chorazin, Capernaum, and nearby Bethsaida. Because the people witnessing those miracles did not repent, Jesus expressly cursed all three cities by name. The inhabitants of the cities had heard the gospel of the kingdom from the king's very lips. Jesus the king had preached the gospel unto them, and they had failed to hear the gospel. He taught in their synagogues, but yet they failed to receive the message. They saw the laws of the kingdom through the miracles Jesus performed, and yet they repented not. Notice, not much is said about Chorazin. We don't have documentation of miracles, but notice in Bethsaida. Let me just share a few. Jesus led a blind man away from the city, restored his sight, and instructed the man not to re-enter the city and not to tell anyone of the miracle he had performed, according to Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. In Bethsaida, Jesus fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves, according to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. At Bethsaida, Jesus walked on water, the waters of the Sea of Galilee, according to Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. So miracles, he performed miracles. He performed miracles right before their eyes, but they missed the message and they missed the miracles. Notice the miracles at Capernaum. Jesus healed a man who was possessed by an unclean spirit, Luke chapter 4, verses 33 through 36. Healing of Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. Healing of many sick and diseased, Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. Healing of the paralytic in Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. Healing of the man who had the withered hand in Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. A draught of fish in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Raising Jairus' daughter in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Matthew chapter 9, verses 23 through 35. Healing a centurion's servant. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Healing two blind men. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Healing a dumb spirit, according to Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 and 33. So over 40 miracles were performed in Capernaum. But yet, they failed to hear his message and receive the sign of his miracles. So he denunciates judgment upon the cities. Now, notice, if you will, and I'm almost finished, the severity of the judgment. Verse 22. He said, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." Notice now in verse 23, "O thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Now think about what Jesus is saying. There's severity in the judgment. He declares the final judgment in the words, "the day of judgment." Now, get it? Now, he declares final judgment in the words, "day of judgment." At the day of judgment, there will be lighter punishment for Tyre and Sidon as compared to the cities Jesus upbraided. He said it will be more tolerable. He uses this phrase two times. The first, notice he said in verse 21, he said that if Chorazin and Bethsaida had received the mighty works which were done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say, verse 22, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable." That's the first. Then verse 24, "But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." More tolerable. Now, the word "more tolerable" means more endurable. This suggests that men will be judged according to their opportunities. Oh my, write that down somewhere. That men will be judged according to their opportunity. That those who have heard or who have had and neglected opportunities will be held most guilty. Let me say that again. This suggests that men will be judged according to their opportunities. That those who have had and neglected opportunities will be held most guilty. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. The Bible also says, he that knows and fails to do what he knows to do, that which is right, is whipped with many stripes. But he that does not know and act out of ignorance is still whipped, but whipped with few. You see this? He says, when there's neglected opportunities, they would be held most guilty. Got the word in you, and you choose to live against the word, you will be whipped with many stripes. He deals with judgment according to their opportunity. Now, Tyre and Sidon were heathenistic cities known for their many abominable sins. They were cities guilty of sin, but they sin in ignorance. The reason Jesus pronounced less judgment on Tyre and Sidon is because they did not have the gospel preached unto them, and they did not see the miracles of Jesus with their own eyes. But the inhabitants of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum rejected the Messiah and the doctrine of the gospel against all evidences of miracles and convictions of their own minds. And when the gospel is preached unto you and you disregard the gospel, the judgment of God is severe. There's nothing left outside of that but judgment. I know the world says, how can a loving God be loving and send people to hell? No, it's not God sending you to hell. It's your rejection of God's love that sends you to hell. Because his message is a message of love. His miracles are signs of love. And when you reject the message and miracles of God, expressed in his son and through his son, is not God sending you to hell. It's your rejection of God that sends you to hell. Because God has made every provision you need made to be saved. He compares Bethsaida and Chorazin to the city of Tyre and Sidon. But then notice Capernaum, he says, you are exalted. You're lifted in pride. And your arrogance has come up unto heaven. And he says, in the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for thee. We know what happened to Sodom according to the word of God. It was totally destroyed by fire and brimstone. It's a picture of God's wrath, God's judgment. City completely wiped out, but yet Jesus says it would be more tolerable. Yes, sir. Which means that the city of Capernaum will be worse than that. And my little finite mind cannot even perceive of anything that's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. But notice it's not going to be just a wipeout or a wiping out of the city. It will be an eternal punishment of the city. Yeah, right. Can you imagine never being relieved from the punishment of hell to eternally suffer because of your rejection of Jesus Christ? That's the message here. We go back to last week. He said, you're like children calling out to one another and you won't play.
All right.
We have piped under you and you won't dance. We have mourned and you will not lament. Nothing we do will reach you. We're preaching and we're preaching and we're talking of God's word. We're sharing God's word. We're trying the best of our ability to live God's word under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. And yet you reject it.
Well,
he says there's judgment.
Yeah.
That happens to all people who reject his message and fail to see the signs of his miracles. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Messiah, the anointed one sent from God to stand between living God and dying man. He's our bridge over troubled waters. He's the mediator. He makes the connection, the link. He links us together with God. That's why he said that if you will see the Father, you must go through him. Don't reject him, please. Receive him. And don't put off. Do it now, while the blood is running warm in your vein, so that you will have that assurance that if your time comes today, tomorrow, or what have you, you will be eternally kept by the hand of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Receive his message. Receive the signs of his miracle to be saved.
Yes,
that's the message. Don't be as these cities that Jesus named here in Matthew chapter 11. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Receive him. Please receive him to be saved. That's the most important thing you can do. That's the most important decision you can make. You will ever make in your life is to either receive or reject the Lord. There's no gray area. There's nothing in between. God bless you tonight, and I pray that your heart been touched. And if you're not saved, that you will give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. How do you do that? By simply believing in your heart and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. What am I to believe? Believe that Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died in your place for your good. He was buried. God raised him from the dead. Confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth.
Yes, sir.
You saved. We would love to hear from you if you've done that tonight. If you do that tonight, we would love to hear from you. If you do that tomorrow day, tomorrow night, sometime this week, we would love to hear from you. We would love for you to share with us how the Word of God has been a blessing to you and how you plan to be a blessing to many people by sharing your faith. Listen, I want to pray with you before we close, and hopefully and prayerfully, we'll see you soon or hear from you soon. Father in heaven, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord, that your word is as a sword that cuts and pierces. Your word is powerful to bring about life change. Your word is so powerful that it can convict our hearts to call on the name Jesus to be saved, to turn us from wickedness to righteousness, from damnation to salvation. Thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we as Jesus will be people of intentional evangelism. We will reach the lost for you. Lord, that's foundational, that you have ordered us, commanded us to go into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is King.
Yes, sir.
King who came to die for the people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the kingdom, the spiritual realm in which Jesus Christ rules. Thank you for the kingdom. And thank you for allowing us to be citizens of your kingdom. Lord, if one's heart's been touched tonight, I pray that they receive you by believing in your Son and confessing with their mouth. And Father, that you will connect them with us, that we can continue to wash them with your word, to teach them your way, your truth. Lord, that they will experience life lived abundantly. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse of unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Watch over us as we make ready to leave this place. Give us safe travels to our home. And Father, tomorrow as we wake up early, with waking up on Wednesday mornings with the word, give us rhema to share with your people. I'm excited about what you're doing with us in this season. To you we give the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.